In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we have a situation in the gospel, kind of like I mentioned last week, where different fathers of the church interpret it differently. St. Cyril of Alexandria is very, very much convinced that this rich young ruler of the synagogue who approached the Lord today was absolutely trying to trap him, trying to trick him. And he uses a couple of examples of this. I'll name really only one. He says that in the Syriac, there were two ways of addressing a teacher at the time. Most of the time, if it was the chief guy, you would not say good teacher. You would say great teacher. And yet today, this man uses the word good, which actually refers to a subordinate. And so he's sort of downplaying who the Lord is and what he's trying to teach. He's afraid that somehow he's going to suggest things that are against the law of Moses and try and trick Jesus into saying something that would give him away as such. Well, St. Theophylact believes differently. He believes that the Lord saw this man and really, really loved him and was assuming the best of him. Now, it's difficult, having heard both of those interpretations, reading this passage now and really knowing what exactly it's all about. But I'm kind of inclined to agree with St. Cyril. I think the Lord did indeed love him, but there are too many other instances in the gospel where someone is trying to trap the Lord into this, that, or the other. So he comes to him and says, good teacher, a subordinate, but Jesus is not going to play along with this. He, in fact, comes back even with the moniker good and says, why do you call me good? One is good, God alone, meaning that within a man there is no good thing, as we read so many places in the Scriptures. So he comes right back to the man and says, okay, don't call me good, period. But you know the law, what does it say? And so he starts naming about the things that we should not do according to the Ten Commandments, adultery, covetousness, all these different things that he goes through. And so he's playing on this man's ground, okay? He knows where he's coming from. He knows that he is trying to promote the law of Moses. And so he comes right back at him with this. And this man, who St. Cyril believes is dishonest when he says this, says, all of these things I have done since my youth. Really, kept the law perfectly since your youth. Okay? The Lord doesn't dispute this. He's not going to get into some kind of open disagreement with the man. But instead, he sees into the man's heart. He knows what he's really attached to. And so he says, well, that's very good. You've done all these things, but there's one thing you still lack. Go, sell everything that you have and distribute it to the poor, and then come and follow me. This cut the man to the quick. Because you see, he was there to try and justify himself according to the law so that he would be able to keep all of these things that he has. And St. Cyril says again, who wants long life more than a rich man? Because they've got an awful lot to live for. They can keep these things forever and forever and forever. But the Lord's not having any of that. And so the rich young ruler turns and he walks away. And Jesus is very sorrowful at seeing this and says, how difficult it will be for someone who is rich to get into the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, it's more difficult for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, people have been arguing about that passage for many, many years. Supposedly, there was a gate around Jerusalem that was called the eye of a needle, and it was difficult for a camel to get through it. St. Cyril doesn't get into any of those arguments. He says it doesn't really matter. Well, you're talking about a real camel that can't go through an eye of a needle because it's impossible, or whether you're talking about the tight cable on a ship that was often misnamed camel by the sailors. So you talk about a big, thick cable that also can't pass through the eye of a needle. Either way, it's impossible. And so those around him hear this and say, well, if that's impossible, who can be saved? Because they realize that everyone is rich to a certain extent with certain things that they're attached to. And yet the Lord opens that door wide and says, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And of course, this young man that came to him thinking that somehow he was addressing just a man. And the Lord says, okay, if you're addressing me just as a man, then don't say I'm good, because no one is good. But yet you should be addressing me as God, because I in this passage say, with God all things are possible. We know that the Lord is God, and that with Him all things are indeed possible. This becomes a tricky situation with us, doesn't it? Because particularly in our day and age, most of us are rich in one way or the other. We've got some kind of attachment that we really hang on to. And everybody in here personally knows what it is for you. There is something you would find very difficult to give up in order to follow the Lord. But he makes no bones about this. He is very clear in terms of what it is that's required. If indeed you are wealthy, and he talks about this at the end of the passage, say, with God all things are possible, meaning that what are you doing with your riches? Are you just keeping it all for yourself, for your family members, for whatever? Are you distributing it to the poor, like he says? How many times do the poor come into conversations with the Lord? Many. You're absolutely right. And of all the things that he asks us to do in the Gospels, this is probably fundamental, how we treat the poor. Because we know that he is poor in spirit. We know that when we encounter the poor, we are encountering Christ. And so he's identifying with them to such an extreme that it makes it difficult for us to ignore that. How many of us see the poor on the streets all the time? I mean, I know I do. You can hardly go anywhere without seeing them. It doesn't matter if they are trying to get out of work, if they're drug addicts, or any of this kind of stuff. The fact is that they've got nothing. And that they stand there even in their degradation, perhaps even in their sin, if they're doing some of these things, as a witness to us, saying that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. I am in His image. I am here. How are you going to treat me? What do we do? How many of us feel uncomfortable when we come up to a stoplight and there's somebody standing there that says, we'll work for food or something like this? You see it all the time. What do you do? What happens? You immediately feel uncomfortable. You think, I hope he's not going to come up to my window. Oh, please, no, stand there. The light's going to change. I'll be able to rush through. We'll get through that. Don't we feel that way? I feel that way. I see these people, and I feel like I don't know what to do. But it's important to be prepared for this. And I try and tell everyone, you know, we used to give out these bags of water and goods and things like this. That you could hand to these people, you know, as a goodwill offering. And that, I think that's something we should do again. We should make up a bunch of these things, particularly at this time of year, and ready to hand them out. I would also carry cash on you. And you put that cash in your wallet or in your purse, and you don't touch it for anything else. This is for the poor, so that when you come up to them or they come up to you, you roll down that window and you hand them a 20 or whatever it is. You know, if you do that, you're going to feel really good about yourself. And with good reason, because you are helping the poor. You are helping Jesus Christ. You are perhaps giving to the Lord. So on that last day, that last and great day of judgment, when He asks about these very specific things, you'll be able to say, yes, I did do this. I did help the poor. I did visit those in prison or those in sick or clothe the naked, these kinds of things. Our actions are very important. They count for everything, absolutely everything. Our faith, of course, is a faith that's full of promise and belief and trust in God and spiritual exaltation of all kinds and saints who are elevating and healing people and just so many marvels and wonders that we can't really count them. But none of that matters if we're not doing, if we're not out there actually in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ trying to help our neighbor, trying to give things to them, and does it in there, and following Him day by day by day by day. Not 1 hour can go by when we're not following our Lord Jesus Christ. And He makes that so clear to us today, doesn't He? It's really little to ask. The Lord is saying simply, be like me. Be like me. What does He say other place in the gospel? Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And we might think, what are you kidding me? Be perfect? How can I do that? With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What it takes is effort on our part. A willing spirit. Again, I go back to the words of St. Seraphim of Sarov when they said, Father Seraphim, why are there so few people today who are living the Christian life and not becoming saints? And St. Seraphim said, only one reason, a willing spirit. That's the only reason. And that's the only reason that will keep us away from our Lord Jesus Christ today. So my brothers and sisters, as we enter into this wonderful and joyous nativity season, let's do these things. Let's not just think about them. Let's not just put them off for another week. Go out today. Make preparation for yourself to help those that are around us in any way that we possibly can. Because this, of all seasons, is the season that the Lord is asking us to really emulate Him. That's why we hear this gospel at this time of year, 13th Sunday of Luke. That's why it's presented to us. So don't delay. Get that willing spirit. Get that joyous nativity spirit, that Christmas spirit that wants to go out and make ourselves whole and sound and spiritually sober inside by helping those that are around us. The Lord will not fail to reward any of us for doing this. And it will make our path much, much smoother and easier as we approach the kingdom of heaven. Amen.